Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And today we have a very special show. Kristen Visbal from Lewis, Delaware, and I'm sure you've heard about her because she's the creator of Fearless Girl, the well-known sculpture based or located at this time in the midst of Wall Street. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much, Guillermina. Did I get that right?
Very nice. Thank you.
I'm so pleased to be here, especially in an arts program.
And you know what? And the arts in Delaware are so proud of you these days because you are certainly the talk of the state.
Well, thank you so much. I'm actually getting messages from all around the world.
I know. So how does it feel?
Rewarding. It feels overwhelming, actually. I think I'm starting to get used to it, but I have for almost 6 weeks now rolled out of bed in the morning and sat down at the computer and answered correspondence until the wee hours of the morning. So it started to settle down until Mr. DeMonica's press released yesterday, or a press conference.
Yes.
I haven't done a lot of art. Let me put it that way. I haven't made much art in this past 6 weeks.
Well, we are all entitled to our opinions, but certainly we in Delaware are in favor of that fearless girl not having an extended presence in Wall Street, but be there forever. So count on us. Count on us to have, Delaware art be so nicely promoted. And we're so proud of you. And so this is a very pertinent interview, but let me go to more of the basics, Kristen, if you will, because you're an artist more than anything else, and you need to have an outlet for expression. So tell me about Kristen Visbal, the artist. How do you define yourself from that perspective?
Wow. I've been creating realistic work for 19 years, and not to diminish that, I love realism, and I was flabbergasted, actually, that I could create realistic work, and it was an accident that I found out that I could, which I think is a simple hand-eye coordination. But an artist needs to evolve, and they need to grow and continue to change throughout their life. And I'm about to embark on a distortion series I've been dreaming of making for 17 years. So, and I think I will probably focus my efforts on pure abstraction. I feel like, not everyone can do both realism and the abstract, and I think I share this quality with my mother, who was a wonderful pastel portraitist, but also did many, many abstract works and watercolor and acrylic and oil. Mm-hmm. So we share that, and I think that the most important issue to me as an artist is motion. And I try and incorporate it in everything I do, wherever it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Fearless Girl, the advertising team at McCann New York, on behalf of State Street Global Advisors, said, well, we want a little girl with this on her hips. And many of the people on that particular committee were women. So really, this particular work was a collaboration of many women. I may have given her face, but I incorporated that motion and made it my work by making her dress spin and the ponytail spin, which mimics the wool tail. So that motion is key to my creation, and I see taking it to a place beyond reality in my distortion series, which, that really will deal with distortion of the human form, so that the form is being twisted and stretched in fantastic ways, but always, with a sense of rhythm and repetition and beauty.
Indeed, and the motion is certainly a very important aspect, as far as I can see, not only for the human form, but also animals, also undefined forms have this this motion and expression, if you will. So
I think it makes a work more exciting, you know?
Yes.
And then it captures like this instant in time, you know, much more exciting to have this ephemeral quality to the creation.
Indeed. Indeed, and you transmit that. The motion is transmitted, that is for sure. Now, let me ask you another question. What inspires Kristen to create?
Oh, well, golly, that's a, you know. Yeah, Mina, you know, I will say loudly and clearly that I did not choose art. It chose me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I put my hands in clay, I went back to school at Salisbury State University, and my major was graphic design. I wanted to focus on packaging. And I took this with a 101 class in ceramics, and I put my hands in that clay, and I changed my major to sculpture because I felt like anything that wasn't pure, fine art was going to be skirting the issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the same way I didn't realize I could do the realism. People kept asking me to do realism. I'm happy to have made what I've made.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple more up my sleeve that are realistic. But, you know, then I'll turn my attention to the new work. And actually, Fearless Girl, you know, I've had so many requests for reproductions that they actually provide the opportunity for me to create independent of needing to earn a living. I hope we'll see. I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do with that work.
It's always an evolution, and I believe that since this is an outlet of expression to you, gives you the chance to shape it in a different way.
You mean to shape the clay in a different way?
Or? Right. What I was trying to figure out when you were talking is sculpture is an outlet that puts you very much in contact with the material that you're working on. And bronze and clay.
I would say clay is, you know, part of the reason I make bronze sculptures because I can create in clay. I mean, for me, I really felt like I had done it before somehow. And, of course, in my lifetime, I had not. But that was the sensation that I had, that I was at home. And, you know, the drive to create, especially with these new works I want to make. I used to wake up in the middle of the night just crying because I couldn't find any time to express them. So hopefully their time has come.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I have to do it. In fact, you know, the life of an artist is so difficult. You know, there's at every turn I'm having to decline an invitation or a family event or a holiday celebration because I have some deadline and I've got to put in these gobs of hours. But and the cash flow has always been feast or famine for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when February rolled around this year, I thought, okay, do you want to continue this way without the assurance of, you know, a steady income for your later years in life? And I sat down, I told several friends, I said, you know, this is who I am, and I don't think we could do something else. So, you know,
that's an interesting point. You are in favor then of expressing the way you feel that idea to be expressed. So you don't want to be limited, but being truth to yourself.
Right. Well, you know, maybe this is an aside, but do you know the work of the writing of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross?
Not really.
Okay, so she is the woman who did all the research on death and dying and wrote a book on death and dying.
Mm.
And when my mom, you know, died and she was imminent for death, I started to read a lot of Kubler-Ross books.
Mm.
And in one of them, she says, you know, something to the effect of, well, if you live your life and you do what you really love and you're true to yourself, then you're going to live an authentic life. Even if you live in poverty, even if this or that happens, you are an authentic person and your life is well lived.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonated with me.
Well said. And we'll continue the conversation, Kristen, but let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you're listening into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for the Delaware State of the Arts Radio Show. Our guest today is Kristen Bisbal, the sculptor from Lewis, Delaware, author of Fearless Girl, and a well-known artist here in Delaware. Welcome again to the show, Kristen. I cannot believe that I'm talking to you. You are a celebrity now.
Oh, come on. Thank you. My pleasure. I don't feel it.
Well, there you go. You probably shouldn't. If one of the virtues of living in Delaware, as you know, is that we keep things real. This is down to earth.
I agree. And, you know, the peacefulness of the beach community is... Mm-hmm. Worked very well for me for a long, long time. Sometimes I feel a bit removed from the action that is happening up north, living down here at the beach. But it is a peaceful existence, and frankly, I get the bulk of my work in the middle of the winter. There's not a lot going on, and I can focus.
There you go. Well, that's part of the virtue, which brings me to your creative process, because I'm not an artist to begin with. So I am always intrigued about the creative process. And I've talked to, people that write poems, people that, like you, work on a sculpture. But in any event, I'd like to know yours. How is your creative process? You see something that gets your attention. How that is translated into a beautiful piece?
Oh, thank you. Typically I do almost 100% commission work, which is why I'm really excited about my distortion series that is called Left of Center. But almost 100% commission work, I do... 1 to 2 public monuments a year. Mm-hmm. Getting into the public art market was very difficult, but now I have a good-sized portfolio that supports my obtaining these new commissions for public art. So because they're large and much larger than Fearless Girl, in fact, I hadn't sculpted a child for probably 12 years. I typically make I use pencil rod or rebar, and I make a small model or maquette. That's what it's called, M-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E. It's a French word for the miniature model. Mm-hmm. And then about the time that I came back to Delaware and set up shop here in Lewis, I think it was like 6 months before I came back from my apprenticeship in New Jersey, the Johnson Atelier, where I did my apprenticeship, brought the first digital enlargement machine from Italy to the United States. And so I saw it in action, and this is a robotic arm that can carve, foam or stone in the same position or the same form as what's scanned into that computer program, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's digital enlargement, and I was very intrigued by that because I work by myself, and traditionally I would take plumbing pipe and weld it and cut it and put it all together and bolt wood on there or something that I could glue the foam to, and then I would take up space by gluing foam on there and carving it down and then putting my clay on there. And using that process, I used a lot of clay. The result was a very heavy piece where frequently I would have like 5 guys come over to the studio to help me put the thing on a truck. Mm-hmm. With this digital enlargement process, I make this maquette or miniature. It gets shipped to either someone who can scan the clay or to a mold maker who makes a mold, casts the wax, and then the wax gets scanned using this little wand. It's like a laser beam that you point on the surface of the miniature, and you make sure that you cover the entire surface, and it gets plugged into a computer program that's a 3D program where you can actually see if you missed an area. It's very interesting to see it. So once they know that they've gathered all of the information off of the miniature, it gets keyed into this program, and then they have a 3-axis or 7-axis robotic arm that this information gets fed to. So what I get back is pieces of pipe insulation foam, which weighs 2 pounds per square foot, in the shape of my miniature model and enlarged at whatever, you know, whatever multiple I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So I might send the miniature and say, okay, I need you to mill this at 300%. And it comes back to me like these puzzle pieces, Guillermina.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to glue them together. A lot of the undercuts are, you know, need to be recarved out. And then, you know, when you go from miniature to large, things need to change. So mm-hmm. invariably, you know, the head size will be off, or I need to change the angle of the head because now, mm-hmm. you know, I'm underneath the piece and it needs, and I can't see the face. So I might want to tip it down. So I make all those changes in this lightweight foam. And if I want to change the angle of an arm, it's so fantastic. I just cut it off
mm-hmm.
and then I'll put a wedge of foam and I'll reposition it with the glue at a different angle. It's wonderful. So when I built Fearless Girl, after using this process for 10 plus years,
mm-hmm.
I am really sculpting in the foam, you see. And
mm-hmm.
then I'm putting a thin skim of clay on top and I'm modeling the surface. So I built her out of foam and then I used a die grinder, which is a pneumatic tool, connected to my air compressor with various sanding bits on it to just get my basic shape. Then I put clay on it and modeled the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a figure that, you know, in the beginning of our initial discussions, the committee and myself, we thought that we might need to bring this girl up to Bowling Green Park in New York City and make sure that her head was angled at the right angle to be looking at Charging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we didn't end up doing that, and we just kind of spun the figure around until we got it where we wanted it in bronze.
Right.
But so that's my process. So, you know, it's a long process. I don't know how long is the show.
No, I just wanted to have a sense because certainly for each discipline and for each art is very personal. Sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's very organized. But in any event, thanks for sharing at least part of this elaborated process that people might not know. Let me go
right.
back a little bit to Fearless Girl.
Before we do that, and let me tell you, it's
yes.
Okay. This is a messy, it's a messy, messy business. And I don't always like that. But that's the way it is.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. And you stick to it. And there's talent involved in the whole process, conceiving the application, the whole thing.
Right.
So in going back to Fearless Girl, because we have not much time left, believe me. When you're having fun, things fly so fast.
I know.
Right? So talking about Fearless Girl, which is outstanding. I have to say, when I first saw it, it took my breath away.
Thank you.
The position, the disposition, the face, the hands, the attitude, the movement, and all that in front of a charging bull is so reflecting of our times.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all of those comments. But yes, I mean, we wanted, you know, a modern child. And look, you know, what we're calling for is collaboration in leadership between men and women. And
mm-hmm.
it's, what's so beautiful is that the concept on Fearless Girl was a collaborative process where everybody was throwing out their ideas. And I think it's a better design because of it. Okay, so maybe I just listened carefully and I'm the only one that did the sketching in the clay model. But, you know, the concept was truly collaborative. And what we wanted was a child that was modern, that says it's today's child, and that child represents the future of business, and that women are going to be a large part of that business world in the future, and that women and men are on equal footing in business. So, you know, the State Street Global Advisors message was, hey, we are seeing study after study after study after study that makes the case for the inclusion of women at the leadership level for these better business decisions. And what happened that maybe we really didn't plan on was that the piece itself and this call for gender diversity also highlighted these women's empowerment issues, women's equality issues of equal pay for equal work and representation of women in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the emails and messages I'm getting from around the world are far beyond just business. This work has become a symbol for the solidarity of women and the empowerment of women. And it's very, very exciting to see that a piece of art can stir up a conversation like this.
Well, there you go. It's provoking conversations and continue provoking conversations, which is the intention.
Yeah. The intention, we thought it was going to be there for 4 days, then it was going to be a week, then it was going to be a month, then we were able to get this grant, so we have a full year there. But, you know, the time for Fearless Girl ends on February 28th, and that's going to be a week before the next International Women's Day. So, you know, I think this is going to be a constant issue until maybe the leadership of New York, you know, embraces
changes minds. Well, we vote for you to stay, for Fearless Girl to stay where it should be, because it belongs in the corridors of power.
It does belong, because to remove it would diminish all of these things that the work is symbolic of.
Indeed. So, and with that, guess what, my dear friend? We run out of time.
It was such a pleasure, Kia and Mina. Thank you so much.
A pleasure talking to you, Kristen. The best of luck.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.